Alrighty, so can't wait for today's session. I think it's going to be insanely helpful, particularly if you have to quote or put quotes together or bids together for work. It may not apply quite so much if you do sort of large tender projects, because sometimes those bids or those quotes are in a prescribed format. But the concepts we're going to talk about today apply. And the topic for today is the persuasive quote, which is really about getting more people to say yes to your quotes. So we all need plenty of profitable jobs to grow our businesses. Gary's just in the waiting room there, Toby. And obviously marketing is important. We need to get leads to kick off. We need people to put their hand up or get an opportunity to price some work. That's that's obviously really important. That kicks the process off. But I reckon sales is even more important. It's even more important to be good at that. And often when you don't have enough work or enough of the right type of work, or you want to grow and you need more work, often sales is a big part of the equation. Now, turning as many jobs, potential jobs, into jobs as you can is massively important. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at how to improve in the sales area and focus specifically on your quote or your bid, the actual paperwork that you put together, so we can get more people to say yes, which I think is a good thing to do. So just to kick off and sort of big picture a little bit, I find for a lot of people, and I'd love to know from yourself as well, if you agree with this, just put yes in the chat. Do you find the whole process of sales a little bit touchy? It's a little bit, feels a bit weird sometimes. Feels maybe a little bit pushy. Maybe there's a bit of an emotional hang up or a mental hang up around this. So a lot of you putting yes in there for sure. Sometimes, Murray, yeah. No, Steve, love it. So you're on fire. So for a lot of people, we've been trained how to do the job, but we haven't really been trained how to do sales, and it can feel a little bit awkward. You probably have a picture in your mind of Leonardo DiCaprio in what's that movie? The Wolf of Wall Street, with the sales, or a used car salesperson. It feels a little bit, a little bit pushy, maybe a little bit sleazy, and it feels a little bit uncomfortable as well. Just want to say, you might feel a little bit uncomfortable with some of the things we talk about today and what I'm going to suggest you do. But remember, most often that's in your head. It's not really in your client's head as much. So the way your clients look at it is probably quite different to the way that you look at it. And here's something that I find helps massively with sales. And I've talked about this before, and you might want to write it down. The definition of sales. So maybe write this down. The definition of sales is this: sales is professionally helping people to buy. So sales is professionally helping people to buy, to solve their problem, or to take advantage of an opportunity. So it's professionally helping people to buy, to take advantage of an opportunity, or to solve a problem that they have. And so that puts a bit of a different spin on it than just feeling a bit pushy and trying to get them to say yes, sort of against their will, or strong arm them, put your arm up their back and get them to say yes. So here's my thinking behind what we're going to look at today. The quote document, or the bid document proposal that you put together, is the most common, most frequently used piece of sales collateral material that you have. And yet for most of us, the quote or the piece of paper, it's a price and some specs. Now that's a bit back to front, I think, because we all want to sell on value and we want to get paid well for the work we do, and we want more people to say yes. Yet often, and it's a question for you, and some of you will do this more than others, how much value do the actual quotes that we put together, how much do they actually demonstrate to our potential clients? So today is really about putting that right. So let's have a look at what we're doing right now. I'd love to hear, just put it in the chat. What do you include in your quotes now to demonstrate the value that you add and explain why your clients should say yes to you and why they should pay a great price so that you can get paid what you're worth? Put it in the chat. If you do nothing, that's fine, just put nothing, that's okay. But I'd love to know what everyone's doing right now. So just put in the chat, what do you do with your quotes now, with the actual document that you send or email, what do you do to add value, to show that the you know you've added value, and what do you do to explain why the client should say yes to your solution? Got a few nothings. Kevin, reviews product, yep, great. Craig, brilliant. Guarantees and safety system, I love that. Natika, warranties, features, and what it includes, cool. Dom, not enough. Luke, Google 5-star reviews, pictures of products, guarantees, etc. Great. Jenny, we tell them about our standards and how good we are. Cool. Paul, state qualifications, capability, fantastic. Michelle, we follow up. Cool. We never used to. That's great. And team, if you didn't get on a webinar we did a couple of months ago, it's called the follow-up. That's another part of the series that we've been running on sales. I strongly recommend you do that. I know people have had great success putting in place the follow-up process that we talked about. Handshoe specs and product design, great. Ryan, explain detailed work for each line item, fantastic. Jason, nothing on paper, just verbal. Cool, so you're doing something. And this is the thing that really I think it's important for us to understand is when the quote goes, it goes in your place and you know it's difficult for you to talk to it. So it can be really helpful to put the detail in the quote as well, even though you may have actually touched on it beforehand. Adam, Fergus can attach stuff automatically to the quote email. Excellent, so we outline our advantage points and our core values, cool. Warranties, safety, okay. Colin, this is good. Ground plan drawings to show what's been done. Courtney, this is great too. Big documents, big quotes, bids, bound document, hand delivered and discussed. Great way to do it. Mark, we're working on our quote cover letter now, so perfect timing. In the past, we've just sent a quote itself with links to the website. Perfect, so this is gonna be absolutely on point for you today. Steve, our sales, my sales are face-to-face with the client discussing the needs in person. And the proposal is a breakdown of our solution. Yeah, so face-to-face is great, for sure. But when they're left with a quote, we want all that good stuff that we talked about face-to-face as well. Doug, warranties and what's included with the sales, such as labor and equipment. Fantastic. Okay, we personalized the quote, Brian. All righty. And Michelle, this is exactly the point. So Michelle said, don't people just look at the cost and what the job entails? Yes, I think they definitely look at that. I can guarantee if that's all that's in the quote, that's all they'll look at. And that's really a big part of what we're looking at today, is if the only thing we put in our quote is the price and maybe some specs, product specifications, how can we expect the client to really make a decision based on value and quality when we don't give them that stuff to make a decision on? We want to lay it all out for them. Okay. Right, let's jump in. So problem, if you just send a vanilla quote that simply talks about price and specs, there's some potential problems. I think the first one is there's going to be some missed opportunities. So how much money do you leave on the table because perhaps your quote didn't impress or didn't back up what you'd said? And you spend a lot of time putting your bids and your quotes together, which you never get back if they say no. Pricing and estimating work. Plus you bought the lead, which can be expensive. You know, if you've had to put the legwork in to get the opportunity to price, or you're doing stuff online, can be quite expensive. We want to get the best bang for our buck out of the marketing spend that we have. Problem is it's going to look ordinary. So your quote looks ordinary. It has very little in it that makes it stand out from the crowd. It's a bit of a yawn. And when our quotes, when our quotes focus on price and not a lot else, it's little wonder that we can find ourselves sometimes in a race to the bottom. Sort of the how sharp is my pencil strategy? And this is the thing that I think is crucial to understand with your quote or your bid document is you're not there to speak to the quote. So it needs to speak for itself, even if you've explained it all beforehand. The opportunity? Well, you're going to stand out. Particularly important, as I said, the quote's got to speak for itself when you're not in the room. It's going to show value. So we're going to explain explicitly and show value of the solution that you offer. Now, often the other people quoting, they may not do this. And certainly they're probably not going to be as explicit about it as we're going to be. Right, just turn the aircon on in here. And ultimately, the aim is we're going to make more sales. So more sales at good margins as people are going to see the value that you bring for the price that you're charging. Now, price is obviously a very important part of the sales process, but let's be honest, everyone knows that you pay more for a BMW than you do for a Toyota. And there's a reason, because it's a difference in quality and perception. So, value is definitely part of the equation. Okay, so how this is going to work today, I'm going to just blast through five key principles that I want you to think about in relation to your quotes and your sales process. So these principles, they apply to putting your quote together, undoubtedly. But I also want to think about them in a bigger context in terms of how you actually approach the whole sales process as well. Because even though what we're talking about today is about the quote itself, some of the questions and the thinking you can actually use throughout the whole sales process, even when you're sitting down having a discussion with the potential client as well. At the end, what I'm going to go through is a template of a quote cover letter and how you can put that together. And then we're going to spend a bit of time brainstorming about what are the key benefits and value that you can explicitly put into your quotes. So you're going to leave this with some information that you can then use to version the template that I'm going to give you in a few minutes. First thing is you want to test this stuff. So sales is a huge part of success in business, and we want to treat it like an experiment. So if we're going to change something, we want to know that it actually makes the difference. And so we have to test it and treat the whole process a bit like an experiment. So we want to know things like, how many inquiries do I get? I think Phil ran a training on this recently. How many of the inquiries I get actually turn into quotes or bids that I can put in? How many quotes turn into jobs? And even down to the level of detail, do you have a better win rate with certain types of work? Remember talking with Mike, he has a large plumbing business in Auckland, and he was measuring his conversion rate, which was around 60%, thought everything was good, but we dig down it and we found that a lot of the commercial bids and tenders that he was putting in, that conversion rate was very low, it was around 20%. And so that's obviously a problem. So you can get down to a nice level of detail to understand how things are performing. So we definitely want to test it, treat it as an experiment. And here's the thing, if you make changes and you're not testing it, you're not going to know whether it works or not. And in that case, you probably won't carry on doing things, or you may carry on doing things that actually aren't helping. So what I say in this situation is test it and you be the proof, put it in and you'll see the results. Next thing is, there, still got that screen there. Toby, you can still see the screen, mate. Sweet. Can't emphasize this point enough. In business, nothing happens until a sale is made. So we are all in the business of sales. As business owners, unless you've got a salesperson, and some of you do, and that's great. But even in that case, you would have started off doing the sales. So sales are an incredibly important role and part of the business. You're in sales. And as I said, sales is professionally helping people to buy. So they can solve a problem or take advantage of an opportunity. So here's the thing, or the little shift that I think it's important for you to get in your mind. Often when we put a price together, we send a quote off for a bid, it feels to us as though we're at the mercy of the buyer's decision-making process. So it's like, well, we've done the work, we'll send it off and see how we get on. Just give me a fist pump if you felt like that. Like, I've done the work, I've sent the quote off, we'll see how we get on. Okay. So most people have felt like that. So here's the challenge I want to lay down to you today and moving forward, and it's this. I want you to spin that around and I want you to think about it in these terms. I want you to think that the buyer is at the mercy of your sales process and your ability as a salesperson, because you have way more ability to actually get the result you want than I think most people previously realized. So the thought process that I have around sales is not, oh, well, they were going to decide that anyway. We gave it our best shot. My thought process is that every quote that happens is one we're going to win unless we do something wrong, unless we haven't got something right, unless we miss something. And so that flips on its head. It means we're in control of our destiny and we can actually drive the buyer decision-making process a whole lot more than we thought possible. Sales is a skill set, one we've got to practice. So let's take that mindset. We're in control of it rather than it's just happening to us. Make sense? Double thumbs up if that makes sense, team. That's a challenge I'm laying down. Okay. So here's one of the most important concepts for today, and it's this. Open loops. So open loops, it's a really interesting concept, and I bet everyone here has experienced it, but most of you would not know it. So if you've ever watched a TV show, you'll know what an open loop is. Now, I can't remember, maybe 3 years ago, 4 years, I can't remember how long it was, someone can probably tell me, a series came out on Netflix called Designated Survivor. Who's watched Designated Survivor? Just give me a hands up. Not many people, few people. Okay. What happens is, I think Kiefer Sutherland's the lead actor. He's the department, he's the Secretary for Housing, the least experienced member of the cabinet. The Capitol building gets blown up and all of a sudden he goes from being the least important to being the President of the United States. Now, my wife and I started binge watching this. We don't watch TV very often, but we were watching 3 or 4 episodes a night for a couple of nights. And the reason is that every episode, it finishes with a series of storylines that are unresolved. They're like on a knife edge. So the bad guy's just about to get it, or the good guy is, or something dramatic's just about to happen, and then the credits roll up. You're like, ah, flipping heck. What's going to happen? And of course, you know, the little thing comes down on Netflix. Next episode starting in 28 seconds. You're like, oh, well, we might as well. So you have to watch the next episode to see what happens. And you know, you end up binge watching an entire series as well. So what happens in these situations is that the curiosity gets the better of you, your own curiosity. You're asking questions about what's going to happen next. And that's what an open loop is. It uses our curious nature to actually get us to act or behave in a certain way. Gets us to ask questions about what's happening or what's coming up or what's it going to look like. Marketing, same thing. Use lots of open loops. Now, for example, maybe someone's interested in weight loss and they're scrolling the internet and they might see an ebook that's called something like The 3 Secrets of Losing 7 kgs Without Going to the Gym or Giving Up Pizza. So that's a pretty cool headline. It arouses a bunch of curiosity. How can I lose weight and, you know, carry on doing everything that I want to do and not do anything that I don't have to do? Curiosity. People click it and read it. So what we want to do, bringing this back to the persuasive quote and how we use this, is we want to use the power of open loops in the mind of our clients, particularly when they think about the quotes or the bids that our competitors have put in. So we want to get them to start asking questions, okay, by opening loops, by getting them to think about things that they may not have otherwise thought about, and particularly around, you know, what's behind the price. And I'll explain that a little bit more in a few minutes. Okay, so just take notes as we go through, guys, too, for the things that that make sense. So in projects and in project management, which all of us do with our projects to a larger or lesser extent, there's something called the project management triangle. There's really 3 parts or 3 outcomes in a project, and they're really, really simple. One's quality, it's about the quality of the job, the quality of the materials, all that sort of stuff. The other one is timelines, how quickly things get done. And the last part is price. So 3 key parts for for a client with their project. You know, high quality, get it done when they want it done, and what price they're going to pay. So here's what we want to have happen by opening loops. Often what happens is this. Price seems to be what a lot of people are talking about or thinking about, and often the quote really just talks about price or specs. We want to open some loops in the client's mind to start asking questions about the quality of the other people's proposals, and also about, you know, potentially the timelines of the other people's proposals or bids or quotes. Okay. So the purpose is to open a loop in the client's mind so that we make sure they're actually comparing an apple with an apple. I'm going to go through the details of how to do this, but just bear in mind this concept of open loops. You can use this even when you're talking with potential clients. You can ask questions like, oh, so what guarantees are you looking for with the work? May not be something they've ever thought about. Opens a little bit of curiosity. Obviously, you'll ask questions in the process that you can answer. But maybe the client, the other competitors can't answer. So open loops, massively important. Curiosity, get them thinking. Okay, number four, spell it out. So assume nothing. Do not assume that the client understands the quality of your proposal. Do not assume the client understands all the value that you bring to the table. A lot of stuff is obvious to us and is basic to us and is almost like baseline, but spell it all out. And the reason, and that might be all the guarantees you have, all the testimonials you have, the experience you have, all the stuff that could bear on the client's decision. Don't leave it in their hands to figure stuff out. Take responsibility, professionally help them to buy by explaining explicitly and in detail the value and the reasons why they should use our solution. Our job, we're the sales experts, so we've got to make those benefits and the value crystal clear. We've got to put our best foot forward. Do not assume anything. I'm sure this has probably happened to you. You've done a bid or a quote, you've put it in, and the client's gone with someone else and they've said something like, oh, they had some guarantees, or they could give us this product. And you're like, well, we could do that as well, but you didn't spell it out to them and someone else did. Has that ever happened to anyone? Just give me a show of hands if you've found that before, or you've lost a job when you know you really should have won it if you'd made it clear to the client what you're able to do. So that's our responsibility to spell that out, to make it absolutely crystal clear. The last part is, If we look big picture, creating and sending a quote, it's only part of the sales process. And it's not everything. It's a whole lot more to sales than obviously just sending the quote. It's what we're gonna put the magnifying glass on today, but I just wanna look at the bigger picture as well. So that's really important to get that part right as well. So in the workbook, I think it's on page 6, and some of you will be familiar with this, that's fine. The revision will be great. Some of you may not, in which case this will be really, really helpful as well. There's a bunch of parts to the sales process, and we can break down the process from getting an inquiry to getting the job and getting paid. If we break it down, then we can actually start tweaking with little bits of it to make improvements, to test it as we go. So there is several stages, and I'm just going to blast through them and just take notes as we go through. And any questions, please pop them in the chat, and we can answer those as we go as well. The first part is the pre-inquiry stage. Okay. Then we get people to inquire. So that's the inquiry stage before you put your quote or your bid in. This is where you deliver the quote. This is the follow-up process, which as I mentioned, we covered off a couple of months ago. And then here's the after sales process. Okay, so we've got 6 steps, if you like. And each one of these areas has a different purpose. So the pre-inquiry is really about building authority. So that's about our marketing. So when people see our marketing, you know, do we look like the people to call? The next part is really about qualifying people. When you have problems down this end, which is the thick end where you're trying to get people to say yes, often it's because you haven't qualified them at the start. And there needs to be four things for people to say yes. Number one, they need your service. Number two, you're talking to the right decision makers. Number three, they've got the budget. And number four, it's a now thing. You know, not much good for necessarily quoting. People just want a bit of information, spending a lot of time on it. So qualifying is hugely important. And the way we do that, we have an inquiry script, which is in the membership site, which qualifies people to ask the right questions. And for bigger projects, we can do what's called a triage call, which is sort of a 10 to 15 minute phone call. We ask all the right questions to qualify them to see if they fit with your ideal clients and now whether it's the right thing if you actually go and invest a bunch of time to do a site visit and put an extended price together. Again, this is all in the membership site. We're not going to go through all of it today. The quote, before you put the quote of the bid in, that's where you need to assess their needs and build value. Okay. Delivering the quote again is where you impress. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Speed, systems, and solutions. So getting the quotes done quickly, good systems. The follow-up is where you problem solve and objection handle. So if they've got objections, you handle those. And the after-sales service is basically just about wowing them, just going above and beyond. So here we do the site visit. Or really, that's a sales call. This is where we prep the quote. This is either you email or in person, you deliver the quote. The follow-up, phone, email, text. Again, there's a training on that. I really strongly encourage you to get into that. And after sales is, you know, gift and or call, follow-up. So those are the steps, and it just, the process goes like this. So that's the whole process mapped out. We can tweak any one of those details to get a better result with the sales. If you have any questions about this, just pop them in the chat. Love to answer those as we go through. Today, what we're really focusing on is how we prep the quote in this area here. How we prep it, and how we deliver it, and how it looks, how it delivers the value. Okay, so those are the five key principles that we need to bear in mind. Test it, become a pro, open the loop so you create curiosity, make the benefits explicit, spell it out, and understand this part of the entire process. That's one of the levers that you can tweak to get a better result. I think that's an important point. You know, if you can sit down face to face with someone and have a discussion, that's great. And a lot of the things we're talking about today in terms of delivering value is stuff that you should ideally, if we look at the sales process, you shouldn't just leave them to hear or hear. They should be in your marketing and they should be experiencing it when you talk to them through the inquiry script. So that's why I'm talking about the whole process. These concepts apply to the whole process, but we're going to look at how they rubber meets the road with a quote. Ryan, never thought to compare my service to others on the quote. Usually do that face to face. Perfect, perfect. And we're not necessarily going to throw rocks at the other people. It's a little bit more subtle than that. We're going to do it, with love, because it is a competitive game. We want to win, right? I certainly want you to win. Okay. Sweet. Appreciate your feedback, guys. That's really, really helpful. Okay. Doug, so we get the inquiry script is in the sales area of the membership website under the sales resources. And there'll be a line that says inquiry script. Click on that and it'll be in there, mate. So grab it. If you have any questions about it, let us know. You may need to make a few little tweaks to suit, but you'll get the idea. Let's jump in. Remember the reason we do this. I think Glenn's in the waiting room there, Tobes. The reason we do this is because we want to sell value and get people to say yes. And I've touched on this before, but just as a real quick refresher, there's three parts to getting paid what you're worth. And the first part is value belief. Now, you need to believe that your service is worth it. If you don't believe it and aren't prepared to ask for, you know, a profitable price, that's a problem. The second part is value contribution. Was the service actually worth it? And the last part, which is really what we're talking about today, is what we call value perception. That is, does the client believe that it's worth it? And so that's where the whole idea of the sales process and the persuasive quote fits in. We're demonstrating to them that we're worth it and that they can understand that in their mind. Get premium price. You need to have all three of those things happening. You believe it, it is worth it, and they believe it. Okay, so let's look at the quote. I'm just gonna switch the iPad around, so just bear with me for a moment. There we go. Okay, so page 9. So what I have here is a template for how you can have the quote and the bid, how you can make the cover letter, if you like, look, or the sales letter. Now, different people will put quotes and bids together in different ways. That's fine. You can take the parts from this that apply. You may want to put some other bits in it as well. That's fine, but you'll get the concept from what we're talking about today. So there's four parts to this. There's the cover letter, which is here, and we're going to go through that. And what we've done, rather than just putting the vanilla kind of boring, here's the quote, etc., we've actually turned this into a piece into a sales letter, which is designed to demonstrate value and get them to say yes. The next part, you know, you can just stick it behind, is where you put your normal quote with your price and your specs. So all go in there. That's fine. And however you do that is all good. You can put your guarantees there. I just took an example of one that one of the members has done. And there's some examples of these in the membership website, which you can use. So that would go in there as well, so it's supporting. And also we've got a bunch of testimonials in there as well. So this is an example. I just grabbed some from our Facebook page and put them on there. The more you have, the better, obviously. You could do it in this format. You could do it in a format where you have, you know, if you have some written testimonials, you could put those with a photo, ideally, of the client. If it's a business client, a photo and their business logo helps. So there's a few ways you could put that together. That's one example that can work really well. Okay. So those are the four pieces of the puzzle, if you like. We've got the sales letter. We've got the actual nuts and bolts of the quote with the description and the specs and what it involves. We've got the guarantee and we've got the testimonials. There might be some other things that you want to put in there, which you can. You could potentially add as some supporting documents. Okay, Toby's just put the sales letter into the chat as well. If you need a copy of that as well, it's in the workbook too, and it's in the membership site as well. So what we're going to do is actually just go through the sales letter in detail. So I can just explain to you what's going on here so that then you understand and you can actually tweak it to suit, you know, the setup that you have. This is a templated approach. It's difficult to put one together that suits everyone. And you know, obviously everyone's business is a little bit different. Even if they're two plumbing businesses, they'll be slightly different. But you'll get the concept, and that's the key thing here. And this gives you a great base to start from. So what we're gonna do is we're just gonna punch through the parts of it, and I'll explain that to you. If you've got any questions, just shout out, and then we can go through and start creating our own one.
Okay, just before we jump in there, I just got a question from Tyann. Yeah. Would you put your company profile in with that as well?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tyann. People use their company profile at different stages. So sometimes people will use them, they'll use them earlier on in the sales process. So they might use them when they go to site and give them a company profile. Some people even send a wow pack before. Like I know that Graham and Michelle have a landscaping business. And once they've qualified someone and they've done the triage call, then they send their company profile before they actually even go and visit on site. So they've got, you know, some wow material there already. But you could include your company profile here as well. You could potentially include this into the company profile. It's quite flexible. Does that make sense? Sweet, cool. Okay. So let's jump in and have a look at it. It's a little bit hard to read on the screen, but I'm sure you've got it printed as well. So the first part we have, I'm just gonna break it down. It's a bit boring, guys. Sorry to talk through all this, but boring's okay sometimes if it's good. The first part is we've got the letterhead. So you can use your company letterhead here. It's fine, easy enough. The next part is opening loops. So you'll notice that basically all down here is all about asking questions and trying to get them to think. So let's go through it. You put dear, put their name, dear Tony. Have you noticed that other, and where there's a bracket, so you just change that to suit your business. Notice other plumbing companies just tend to do a quote. That is, they give you a price and that's all. As if price was the only thing worth considering when doing your job. If all jobs and plumbing companies were all the same, that'd be true. In reality, there are massive differences, things that matter like quality of materials, management experience, project management experience, the reputation of the company, how much planning will be required, help with the council, organizing plans, choosing the right materials, and critically, how many years will the work last for you? So what we've done is basically put the cat amongst the pigeons. Okay, rather than here's your price and there's their price, it's like here's your price and a whole bunch of things that this person should be thinking about. And here's the other person's price. We want the client to be thinking, hey, has this other person actually thought about all this stuff? Do they actually do this stuff? Is it even a thing? I didn't realize there was so much to this. Goes on a bit further there. Not to mention the important differences between plumbing or concreting or whatever companies, like the skills of the management and experience of the management team, will they deliver exactly the features they said they will? Will they offer a guarantee? How do they manage the other contractors? Will they stick to the budget and timelines? Are they master plumbers, master electricians, master whatever? So the association. And can they give you unbiased professional advice that gives you the best result? That's why we've included some additional information to give you everything you need to make a great decision. So starting to close a loop there. So think seriously about what you want from your trading company. Whilst what's the price is an important question, here are some other things you might want to think about. Okay, so we're just kind of sticking the knife in, turning it with love and really trying to push the, you know, wedge the door open, shine the light on this quote. And then we've got some things listed out there. So we've numbered them. So numbering things, there's quite a bit of psychology in this document. Like numbering things just seems to make them more official in people's mind. So it's like, you know, boom, boom, boom. Will your plumbing company promise that every aspect of their work will represent quality workmanship and offer to fix any problems within 48 hours at no charge? Do they run all their projects through a 78-point quality assurance checklist? Do they inspect their projects to ensure they are safe and legal and conform with the country/state regulations? Do they offer a comprehensive 7-point guarantee? Do they have a comprehensive health and safety policy? Do they provide regular communication to keep you updated with how the project is progressing? or if it's maybe a smaller job, just a day, do that, communicate in advance about when the job will be completed or done or whatever's appropriate in there around the timing. Does your plumber belong to Master Plumbers or whatever the appropriate association is? If you don't have an association, that's fine. That's probably one you leave out, but there might be something else we can put in there, which we'll look at in a minute. Will they give you a firm start / completion date and be honest about their progress? Can your plumber offer 49 references from delighted past clients or customers? More's better, obviously. Does their point man or point person, it should say, have over 32 years of experience in the industry? So we've opened a bunch of loops there. Okay. Even by the fact that we've opened them, they're going to almost give us sort of kudos that we're going to do that stuff anyway, because we're asking about it. But the next step is pretty obvious. Here we start to close loops. So we answer all that sort of stuff. Of course, I wouldn't draw this to your attention if XYZ Plumbing didn't fulfill all of the above criteria and much more. And then I've included the following so you can see the bases are covered. Our price and specifications for your job, that's on the next page. Our unbeatable 7-point guarantee, no hidden surprises guarantee, so that's in the back. Testimonials from our satisfied clients, so we've told them to go see the back page. And this is something that can be really cool to do. An example of a quality assurance checklist we use to ensure our job is done right. So we've actually put some details in here, some specifics to really anchor it and just to show and demonstrate the value. Okay, so you could, doesn't have to be a QA checklist. It could be something similar, but it makes it more real. It's in there. You're not leaving anything to the imagination. Okay. So a couple of other things we're doing in here, which are really helpful from a psychology perspective. You'll notice 87, 7-point, 49, 32, specificity in all those areas. Specificity makes things sound more credible. Rather than lots of testimonials, 49. Okay, so specificity helps. We've got, you know, detailed value we've shown here in the checklist or the process, or it might be a picture of your project management software or your jobbing software, your service software, if that's part of it. We have got a really clear call to action. So down here, we tell them exactly what we want them to do. So it's the call to action. Now you'll adjust that to suit based on how yours is set up, which is fine. What else we got? Credentials. So credentials. So your associations, you may even put suppliers in there. If you associate with something that's a bit bigger than yourself, that's a little bit more well-known, you can borrow authority and credibility, and they'll give you some of that benefit will come across to you. So make sure you put those in there as well. And personalize it. So I think putting a photo in is all good. Just a little thing. I don't suggest you use this photo. There's much better looking people around than that. So maybe swap that out for yourself. Okay, so have we got any questions there? David, licensing and insurance. Yeah, insurance is a good one. Yep. Logan, do you think it being so long and wordy? Logan's got a question. Do you think it being so long and wordy would mean a lot of people would skim through and not read at all? There's a certain type of person this is going to work best for, but if you think about someone spending a few grand or maybe $20,000, $30,000 or more on a project, do you think that takes some time to read through something that's interesting and relevant to their decision? Well, the research around copywriting suggests that they will. Would I always put this in a bid for a commercial tender type project? Possibly not. They might have a prescribed form that you may not be able to. But the key is, if it's interesting and relevant, it's quite likely to be read. So there's another question here. David, yeah, licensing and insurance, definitely could put that in there. Yep. Jason, do you think a video would work? Possibly. It's actually quicker to read than watch a video. But yeah, a video possibly as well. Okay. Does anyone else have any other questions about that? So you can template this and just reuse it with each quote. It takes a bit of work to set up at the start, but once it's done, it's done. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get practical here. I'm going to put 4 minutes on the clock. And here's what we're going to do. I want you to, in the notebook, in the workbook, I want you to write down as many different ways that you think you could demonstrate value or detail or explain or make explicit the value that you bring, whether it's credentials or systems or experience or testimonials. I want you to get a big long list of all the things that you could potentially include as questions at the start here to open loops, and then obviously include in your bid or your quote document to make it compelling and persuasive. So let's put, when we've done that, we're going to share them and get a big list together. There'll be some great learnings from each other. So I'll put 4 minutes on the clock now. Okay, cool, team. So, I'd love to share if you picked up something that was like you hadn't thought of, or that was really cool, that you think you could include in your quote, in your sales letter, if you like, for the quote, then please drop it in the chat. I'd love to hear what was helpful. Any gold nuggets that got dropped. Dan, so links to the company website and the company profile. Cool. So if you had any good ideas that seemed that you hadn't thought of that you picked up. So Adrian, seems very simple, but we just use job management software. Yeah, it is simple, but that's the thing, make it explicit. Courtney, list nationally recognized standards. Yeah, cool. Lindsay, tags, main contracts, be clear on what you are and aren't including, massively important. Murray, photos of finished work. Yeah, for yourself, for a joinery, for landscaping, if you're doing bathroom renos, things like that, massively important. Massively important. Health and safety capabilities, Jason. Yeah, Paul, spell out to the client info like who and how many guys will turn up and what they will be doing. Yeah, Jesse, photos of previous work done and links to product website pages. Yep. Alex, always upskilling to keep in line with current products and trends. Yeah. Use local suppliers. Yeah, Tim, that's a good one. Yep. Company profile with the values. Yeah, you could definitely include your company values if it's not something you actually thought about. That's a really good one to include, actually. Dom says, Alex suggested using that you will be providing compliance certificates. David, mentioning you support local sports clubs to represent that you have community involvement. Yeah, I love that. Or maybe even local charities. Some people have specific charities that they like to support.
Yeah, I think the same thing goes as well, Tony, for that local suppliers thing. If you're in a smaller town, things like supporting local and those local sports teams, that's going to make a huge impact to the people they give.
Yeah, yeah. So we're local, we care. We're about building up our community. So that's excellent. It's a couple of things I hadn't thought of myself. Cool. Okay, team. Hey, love that. Really appreciate your feedback there. So we'll wrap it up. So I guess the key thing about today is to understand that you have way more ability to get people to say yes than you realize. So we want to make sure that the client is at the mercy of our sales process and our ability as salespeople. And there's a whole process to follow. Today we've drilled down on the quote or the bid, the document that we send, because that's often the most used but most underutilized piece of material we have. And the key concepts here are to open loops. So create curiosity and be explicit in spelling out the detail of the value that you provide to make sure that people understand why you're charging the price you charge, and get them to look at the other guys and ask the question, well, what do you do? That's the key thing. So I hope you found it helpful. Really enjoyed bringing this to you guys. Version this, it'll be all in the membership site. If you need a bit of help, you might want a graphic designer to put a little bit of it together. You only need to do that once. Then it's templated and you can use it on an ongoing basis. Otherwise, team, great work. Put this into action, test the results, and let's bank more sales. Take good care, and we'll talk again real soon.